John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 1 and verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 16. So John chapter 1, verse 17. All right, and I do want to draw your attention to this verse, which tells us something that is going to be the basis of our message this evening. This is the 11th message on Moses. And John chapter 1, verse 17 says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I want to speak about Moses, the lawgiver. Moses, the lawgiver. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back in your Bible and trace how many times the name Moses is mentioned, you would find that, at least according to Blue Letter Bible, it is mentioned in the King James Version 848 times. So think about that. So Moses is constantly being referred to in the Bible, and one of the things is mentioned that he gave the law. And of course, you'll see there in verse 17, the law was given by Moses. Now, of course, we know that Moses didn't give the law. God gave the law, but God gave the law through Moses. Now, a law can be defined as a system of rules which a particular country, a community recognizes. So think about that. So you have rules and you have regulations that a country or a community might give. And which kind of brings us to the fact of what we see regarding Riley County. And one of the things that I'm trying to do in relationship to the coronavirus or the COVID-19 epidemic is to try to understand, okay, when would be a good time for us as a church to go forward and begin having services? And I have a rule that is mentioned here. This was given by Riley County homepage yesterday. And it tells us that local leaders continue working on plans for a gradual step-down process to reopen businesses in the area when appropriate. And the staff that is doing this has been meeting, makes sense, with officials from Gary and Pottawatomie counties to balance plans for the entire region. And their statement is this: the reopening guidelines will be implemented by local orders once the governor, Laura Kelly's stay-at-home order is no longer in effect. So tomorrow she's going to announce that. Now, I have some good friends who think that this is ridiculous, that we're allowing the state to close us down over things like this, and there's good arguments both ways. But one of the things that I've been doing is watching, for instance, what's going on in Riley County. I have a little map, and you can get this out on their website, but this map shows that right now there have been, and this is according to today, 47 cases of coronavirus in Riley County, 9 in Pottawatomie County, 12 in Geary County. Now, I don't think the statistic here is reflecting today for Pottawatomie and Geary, but basically what we're seeing there is that there have been some cases of this coronavirus, and so as a result, we are trying to be careful, and the governor's trying to be careful. And so I hope that you'll pay attention to that. But see, that's a law. So the governor can just say, okay, I have this order, and this is what people need to abide by. Now, there are over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And these were given through Moses. Again, given by God, given through Moses. So tonight, I want us to, just in the short time that we have, speak about the giving of the law to Moses. So we're going to see that God gave these laws, over 600 of them. You go to the book of Exodus all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see that there are over 600 laws. We're going to see, secondly, the division of the law by Moses. Okay, so there's a division. And thirdly, we're going to see the reason for the law of Moses. Okay, so let's look at this evening. Because obviously you cannot deal with Moses without dealing with this incredible amount of material in your Bible regarding the law. And people have questions about these laws. So, first of all, the giving of the law of Moses, or we could call it the Mosaic Law. And we're told here in verse 17 that the law was given by Moses. Now, when was that? Let's go over to the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 19. Now, in Exodus 19, we find that God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Probably about 2 months had gone by, from my understanding of this. And that since that time, we come to chapter 19 and we're told in verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So if you notice here, in the third month, they come and they're around this mountain of Sinai. Now, we're told in verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant. Now, this is a new covenant. God had given the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was a covenant that was without condition. God says, I'm going to bless the nation Israel. And that is a promise that He gave without expecting any fulfillment of a condition. But in this case, we have this covenant of the law. And it says, and you shall obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Verse 6, He says, and you shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, we go down to chapter 19, verse 24. The Lord said unto Moses, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest He break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, spake to them, and what does he do? In chapter 20, gives the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not going to review those with you, but those Ten Commandments are commandments that we're told these are the ten words, or the words of the words of the law. They can be divided in between commandments of obeying God, in the first four commandments, and men and their relationship to men in the last six commandments. Verse 18, And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, they understood that there was something powerful. They knew this was God. This wasn't some vision that somebody gave and said, I think God said to me this. No, God basically spoke out, and they heard, and they said, Moses, you deal with God. We can't handle that. Verse 20, And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And if you look at chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, verse 7, we're told that when the people had gotten this covenant from God, it says in verse 7 of Exodus 24, and he took the book of the covenant, read it in the audience, and the people, they said, all that the Lord hath said, will we do and be obedient. So God is a gentleman, and he said, okay, these are the conditions. Are you going to keep them? Yeah, we'll keep them. And this law was conditional, because if you do not keep them, according to Deuteronomy 27:6, you're under a curse. And according to Exodus chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now to sin is to miss the mark. It is to go against what God had said. It's kind of like a speed limit. The speed limit, you can say, well, I'll ignore that, or I'll keep that. And if you ignore the speed limit, and a policeman comes behind you and says, uh-huh, I saw that you've been breaking that speed limit, you have broken that law, and as a result, there's consequence. It is important to know that if you are trying to get forgiveness of sins by keeping the law, you must understand that you will be a failure. Because every one of us knows that keeping the law is impossible. And this is why the scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us has ever kept all the law perfectly. But yet, God gave Moses that law. Number two, the second thing I want you to see is the division of this law. Now again, we're doing this quickly, and we could go through Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and we'd find that there are some interesting distinctions of this law. Now, there's good men that would maybe disagree with some of these distinctions, but it does seem like when you go to the law, there is, seems to be a difference among them. For instance, one of those laws, we would tend to think, yeah, everybody ought to keep those laws. And one of those laws represent the Ten Commandments represents those laws. These are moral laws. These govern the moral life of the Jews. And though Christians, from a strict keeping of those laws, will not be kept from heaven if we have accepted Christ, because the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, in a sense, the scripture tells us that we're justified. To be justified is to be declared right. Even though you have broken the law, you have been declared. So that's what justified means. You have been declared free from the penalty of the law. And as Christians, we are free from the penalty of the law. And yet, the scripture tells us that we have the laws of God written in our hearts. And we could see that in the book of Jeremiah. We saw that when we were studying through the book of Jeremiah. And truly, when a person accepts Christ as their Savior, the Bible tells us that God enters into our bodies. He's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will convince us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, what kind of righteousness? The righteousness of the moral law. And so, we cannot be justified by the law of Moses, but we do understand that there's a certain morality. And this is why we could say that biblically it's wrong to kill, even though we're not in the Old Testament. It's wrong to steal, because we're not, even though we're not in the Old Testament. These are moral laws. The second category of laws that we see in the Scripture, and particularly in the Old Testament, are what we would call the civil law. And something that we have to understand is that when God was establishing these laws, just like we as a country have certain civil laws, and if we were not any longer living in this country, we would be exempt from those laws. But we would go to maybe another country where there would be laws. The Bible tells us that God, when He was speaking to the children of Israel, He told them that, okay, you are now going to have a government ruled by Me. And these are your laws. And these govern the social and political life of the Jews. Certain laws had a local context to the Jewish people and were not necessarily meant for all nations, for all times to keep. For instance, if you hold your hand here, go over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, and Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 11. And I have had people, whenever I have dealt with people regarding certain laws of the Old Testament, they'll say, yeah, and they give you these gotcha situations. Well, if you have to obey that about homosexuality, what do you do with this verse? Deuteronomy chapter 22 tells us in verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Now, that's an interesting thing. So, in other words, these were laws that were given to those people based on the context in which they live. In other words, it would have been wrong for them to have to wear wool and linen together. And that's a very interesting thing. Now, let me just say, there was a reason for that. Because the Canaanites had magic spells and did satanic practices, and that was one of the things they did. So God is basically saying, I don't want you identifying with those satanic occultists. Yes, God does have an opinion about the way we dress in light of evil cultures. But those are civil laws. And of course, that doesn't mean that we should avoid those kind of fabrics. It just means that in that context, under that governmental rule, they were to abide by that. Thirdly, we see not only the moral law in the Old Testament, not only did Moses give the civil law, but there were what we call the ceremonial laws. And the ceremonial laws, these governed the religious life. And it's interesting because God, in a true sense, said, okay, since you cannot keep all the laws perfectly, I'm going to, by grace, provide a way in which you can come to God. And those ceremonial laws were basically shadows of the reality of Jesus Christ. So as a result, you had animal sacrifices, you had religious feasts, and these were ceremonial laws. But since Christ came, we are no longer to focus on and obey those things that simply pictured Him. That's why Colossians chapter 2 talks about the Sabbath and says that the Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. And I've often illustrated it by saying that if you have a shadow that you see, and maybe you're coming around a corner and the light's a certain direction, and somebody can see your shadow before you actually enter into that room. And when they see that shadow, they say, oh, somebody's coming. But then when you come around the corner, they take their eyes off the shadow and they focus on the person. Likewise, Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 10, fulfilled the shadow of sacrifices. Do you see what I'm saying? Hold your hand here. You don't need to hold your hand there, but go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, we're told, by the which will, This is Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering. And of course, we see these laws, and it goes into great details of how the priests were to dress, how the priests were to do certain sacrifices, certain cleansing rituals. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. And notice these words, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering. Now, what offering is that? Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice for our sins. And those animal sacrifices just pictured or were a shadow of when Jesus came. And when Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible tells us in verse 14, he perfected forever them that are saved, sanctified, those who have been made holy through Christ. Now, so I'm saying here, the division of the law, there were moral laws, there were civil laws, and there were ceremonial laws. Now, let me caution you of something, though. That summary of the law does not imply that moral principles are not in the civil and ceremonial laws, because sometimes they are. So, such as I said, you know, for instance, don't wear wool and linen. Well, just as they were not to dress in a way that would confuse them with pagan cults, the Bible makes it clear, not only there, but in other places, that we should not identify with ungodly paganism. And it is wrong for Christians to dress in a way that would identify them with those things that are wrong. Friends, I would never wear a t-shirt that says Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. Why? Because I'm against alcohol. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't wear a t-shirt saying Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, but it does tell me I need to not identify with ungodliness with the way I dress. And likewise, in the ceremonial laws, there are some great lessons that we can learn from that. For instance, the civil law speaks about the death penalty. And yet, we go to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and we find that the death penalty was something that God gave governments a right to do. So, I'm saying to you that when we are studying the Old Testament, yes, there are moral laws that we need to keep. And even if you'd say, well, I'm not sure if I can put that distinction between civil and ceremonial laws, be aware of this, that God has put those there for our learning, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, for our admonition. And I often thought, you know, how would God run the United States of America? How would God run England? How would God run China? Well, we get a good sense of what God thinks about things when we see the laws of Moses. So, we see the giving of the law of Moses. We see the division of the law by Moses. But we do have to come to this question. Then, number three, why or what are the reasons for the laws of Moses? For the law of Moses. So why would God make us, in our Bible reading, spend all that time reading long chapters about all that stuff that seems to have no bearing on us? Well, the Bible has the answer to that. I want to give you five reasons why God gave the law. Number one, the first reason, to provide a standard for righteousness. To provide a standard for righteousness. Now, those who would want to say, okay, we just can ignore the Old Testament altogether, just read the New Testament. What do you do with the fact when God says that such and such is wrong and they base it on the Old Testament law when the New Testament does that? It's because God is showing us a standard for righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And what nation is there great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?" So in other words, Deuteronomy 4, verse 8, and you can look that up. The Scripture tells us it does give us a basis by which to judge things. See, in our society, a lot of people have this attitude that, and I mentioned it the other day, well, what you think is right may not be what I think is right. As if somehow everything is relative. No, God has specific ideas as to how to dress, how to speak, how to live, how to worship, and we could go on and on and on and on. So, the purpose of the law is to provide a standard for righteousness. Number two, the second reason God gave the law is to reveal His holiness. In other words, what we find is that when we look at the law, boy, does it give us some insight as to what God is like and what God thinks about things. You know, what God says about disease, okay? We want to hear what Fauci says, and we want to hear what Burke says. Why don't we listen to what God says? And God has an opinion about disease. Now, He may not give us all the exact specifics, but we do understand that God has an opinion on things. For instance, does God ever give disease as a punishment for sin? Well, we could say yes. We could look at the ten plagues of Egypt, and we could see how God would send a plague in order to get the attention of Pharaoh. Now, what is God trying to get your attention over through this pandemic that we have? It's interesting because in Deuteronomy 4, in verse 35, God says, "I gave you this law that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God, and there is none else beside Him." And one of the things that we can learn through this whole coronavirus situation is we are not in control of our lives. And God could very easily allow these things to happen so we can realize, wow, I need God. So why did God give the law? Not only to provide a standard for righteousness, not only to reveal God's holiness or His person, but thirdly, to expose and identify sin. Now, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we're told in verse 20, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." And if you're looking at that verse with me, notice what it then says. Read it with me out loud. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." You say, what is sin? You know, wasn't that what Pilate asked Jesus? What is truth? Now, Jesus, when He talked about truth, says, "I am the way, I am the truth." And the Scriptures tell us what is true. And if we would ever get to the point in our lives where we say, okay, my basis for judging a matter is not what Professor so-and-so says, not what even Pastor Byford says, but if my standard is, what saith the Lord? And that's when we come to the realization that if you look at Romans 7, verse 7, it tells us, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And we find here that sin is, and let me take you to another verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So, we find the Bible teaches us that God gave us the law so we can measure ourselves. You know, if I take a ruler or some kind of a measuring line and try to measure my height, I can then see how tall I am. Now, I can't say, well, I think I'm 10 feet tall. I can't say that because the measuring stick, measuring tape, contradicts that. So, why did God give the law? To expose and identify sin. Number four, why did God give the law? Well, to lead men to Jesus Christ. To lead men to Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 24 tells us, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, let me read a footnote I have in my study Bible. The Greek word for schoolmaster means not a teacher, but an attendant, a custodian or a guardian, usually a slave whose job it was to accompany the child, train him, and discipline him. So in other words, the purpose of the schoolmaster was to bring that child along to where they needed to be. Well, that's what the law is. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to the point where we need Christ. You know, the Scripture tells us that we're all sinners. Salvation is not by keeping the law. Salvation is by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are not saved, let me encourage you to realize that you are going to fail miserably trying to keep all the laws to get to heaven because it's not going to be good enough. I used to always think that if I died, I would stand before God and He would say, okay, let me see your good works and then let me see your bad works. And He said, now, and I used to think that if your good works outweighed your bad works, you could go to heaven. And if your bad works outweighed your good works, then you would go to hell. And I used to think that. Well, the Bible tells us that if you obey all the law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all the law. And likewise, if I have a 10-link chain, whether I break 3, 5, 8, or even 9 links, I've still broken the chain, even if I only broke one link. And so, I had to come to the realization that salvation in God to go to heaven is not by keeping the law, because I've broken the law. He that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law is under a curse, as we read in Deuteronomy, and it's in Galatians 3, verse 10. So, one of the things the law does is, so you take the Bible and you show them, and do this with anybody. Go through the Ten Commandments with them, and you're going to find out that they're usually lying, adulterers. They are people who have blasphemed God. They are rebellious children. And you go through the law with them and you'll find that they see that they're a sinner. You say, okay, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. So the reason for the law is, number one, to provide a standard for righteousness. Number two, to reveal God's holiness. Number three, to expose and identify sin. Number four, to lead men to Jesus Christ. And then number five, to show us how to please God after we are saved from the law. Now that's interesting. Now go with me to the book of Romans, and this will be our last verse this evening. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, if you'll notice with me verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Now, verse 3 tells us, Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So, in other words, I'm trying to keep the commandments, and I look back and I say, I've not kept those commandments. And even though the law is perfect and just and good, it was weak in helping me because I already failed because of my sin. So, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why when He was on the cross, He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because God had turned His back on Jesus Christ because He was carrying our sins. And then when He said it is finished, He paid for those sins in full. Why? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, the purpose of the law is to bring me to Christ, so when I come to Christ, I start doing what God wants me to do. Praise God, we don't need perfection, but we do need to come to Christ. What must I do to be saved? Paul was asked by the Philippian jailer, and Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, Moses was faithful in giving this law. Aren't you glad? Because it's through this law that I come to Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Imagine God calling your name. You know, Moses, God called Moses out of the burning bush. Imagine God calling your name and it commanded you to give out His laws to bring people to Him. Now, think about that. Imagine God doing that. Huh, He did do that. Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I commanded you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye, you can put your name there, shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, God has called you. God wants you and me to take God's law. Now think about this. And show people how they have broken the law. Now, if all we do is tell people, you're not good because you're not obeying the law, we have only given part of the gospel. Because the true gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we share God's law to bring people to conviction, And then we tell them about Christ. Moses was a lawgiver. My question to you, are you an instrument of God to give the gospel to others? May God help us to understand that even though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Our Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together. And as we study your word, help us, Lord, to understand Moses, the lawgiver, was faithful, and that he spent, we're in the Word of God, see, 848 times recognizing his faithfulness, Lord, of giving the law. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful, to not just talk about Jesus, which is wonderful. I love Jesus, and you want us to love Jesus. But Lord, you want us to bring people to the point of recognizing their sinfulness, and that is through the law. And Lord, help us to not come short, though, and just criticize people because they're not perfect. Lord, help us to present the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.